You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the Burgess formula for successful and lasting marriage. You know, it's really cool because I think marriage is an important component of life. And if you're married, and everybody out there listening tonight that is in a married situation, a married relationship, you're a couple, you know how important it is to have a solid and successful and happy marriage. You know, later on in the hour, we're going to be talking about the Burgess marital score. You know, what's your marriage score and how you can actually begin to score a little bit higher? You know, so right now, let's talk about the formula for a successful and lasting and happy marriage, because, you know, that's so important. I mean, for any of y'all that are married that are listening, you know what it's like to come home and to be in a situation where there's argument and they're fighting and there's fussing and there's drama, and how that can really create a situation where you feel stressed out. You don't feel like you can get any rest. You feel that literally you leave work and you're going into another work environment. You know, I deal with clients all the time that are constantly in relationships and marriage relationships where they feel like they can't be themselves. They go home and all they want to do is just relax, and the opposite happens. Like, if they try to relax and they try to talk and they try to speak their mind or just try to have a conversation, the other person wants them to be quiet, wants them to shut up, doesn't want anything to do with it, or puts them down. And those things don't make for a good marriage. Those actually make for stress and anger. And so let's talk about what it means to have a good marriage, because I think that's what's important on tonight's show. And a lot of us kind of confuse what good means or what successful means. And I think that there's certain components that means that your marriage is a success. You know, later on in the next hour, we're going to be talking more about your score, because I think there's a definite marriage score. And I think all of us can work to increase our scores and all get A's. So let's talk about that. So first off, let's talk about what makes for a good, successful marriage. And I think the first thing that we want to talk about is about how you care. I care a lot. You know, how do you care about each other? I mean, how do you really honestly care? And, you know, Bill, I know you're not married.
Not yet.
Not yet, at least.
I'm in a long-term relationship, but not married yet.
Long-term relationship. Bill's in a long-term relationship, and I will definitely be at the wedding, okay? So I'm just going to put that out there. I don't care in what form or fashion I'll be at the wedding.
Are you going to give me away?
I will give you away.
Good.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome if you give me away.
Wouldn't that be cool? I love that.
All right. It's a date.
Awesome. You heard it here. Okay. And you know what? We should film the...
We're going to film the whole thing and put it up on Ashley's website.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay. We're doing it.
And up on your YouTube channel.
I absolutely love it. We're going to put it on the website. We're going to put it on YouTube. And then if we get permission from the soon-to-be bride, we'll actually load it up live. That could be interesting. A live stream.
There you go. I mean, we can work on that.
The Barnett wedding.
Now, the aftermath of the wedding, though, you're out of luck there.
Well, you know what? We'll just close the door and we'll have a little sign that says, in session.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. In session.
And we'll leave you alone. And then we'll all go party.
There you go. Hey, that sounds good to me.
So let's talk about this. The first thing that we need to have a successful, excellent, awesome marriage is because we care. You care. Do you care about each other? Do you care about your spouse? And I think the first thing that comes to my mind, because I've been married for almost 12 years now, it'll be 12 years in the end of June. So 12 years, solid marriage, 14 and a half years together. And you know, every day is good. You know, it's a good system. We have a good marriage, and it's not that we haven't had our ups and downs, because we have. I mean, every marriage has ups and downs. Every marriage goes through problems. And I figured that literally it's like that 5 year or 7 year itch that most people go through it. I'm just being totally frank with you right now, is that the whole, and I'm not really being frank, I'm being Ashley, but the concept about it is the 5 to 7 year itch is when things just don't seem to be working that well. Problems seem to be coming up, you know? You start getting a little intolerant of your spouse. There are certain things that you just can't stand. And those are the things that you got to work through. And if you're in that process right now, I'm talking right to you. For everybody else that's maybe gone through this process and feeling it again, or for people that are wondering, you know, hey, is my marriage really successful? This is your show. So do you care about your spouse's happiness? I think that's first and foremost. Do you care if your spouse is honestly happy? And I think anybody that's in a long-term relation can relate to what we're talking about, because if you're in a long-term relationship, do you really care about your girlfriend or boyfriend's happiness? Does it matter to you?
Well, you would think that if you marry them, that means you love them. And if you love them, then you care about their happiness. I mean, to me, it's just kind of a logical thing to do. And that means that if stopping to doing something, you know, like a bad habit or whatever, like let's just take what I hear is a common complaint, you know, squeezing the toothpaste tube in the middle, you know,
leaving the toilet seat up
or leaving the toilet. Okay, that's a good one. You know,
using all the toilet paper and then leaving just the little round roll that holds the paper on
and
leaving that on
it.
the toilet.
Right.
Perfect.
You know, fine. If that sweetheart, if that'll make you happy, I mean, it's not a big deal to me that you'll reach into the cabinet and pull out a new roll of toilet paper. But if that'll make you happy, fine. I'll get in the habit of replacing the toilet paper roll, or you know, I'll be sure and leave the seat down.
And so you care about their happiness.
Yes.
You care about their happiness. And I think that's so important, because we're not talking about well-being right this second. We're talking about happiness, because happiness is a big component of marriage. And I think a lot of people out there right now are in a situation where you're living where it's almost like you're in a roommate situation. It's like you're trying not to upset anybody. There's other issues going on in the marriage, and you're kind of just trying to keep status quo. You don't really want to, you know, shake the boat up. You don't really want to deal with it. And you're kind of both just like living. And I know that a lot of marriages kind of have a tendency of going through that roommate situation where people say, well, we're more like roommates than married. You know, it seems like we've been married for so long. It's like they stop thinking about making each other happy. They stop thinking about, and let me get one thing straight real quick. You can't make another person happy. You can do gestures and actions and things that will make someone smile, and it may add to their quality of life, but if they're not happy to begin with in their own right, you can't change that unhappiness of them. And I think sometimes marriages get into that that thought process where, you know, my wife or my husband is upset and I want to make them happy. And especially if this has nothing to do with you, if this has nothing to do with the toilet paper roll, and this has nothing to do with you about the toilet seat, and this has nothing to do about, you know, picking up the dog crap in the backyard that you said you're going to go pick up. If this has nothing to do about that and it has to do with them, you can't really change that.
Yeah.
You can't instantaneously, like, if, you know, when I'm married, I can't look at my husband and go, okay, I know you're upset about that, I'm going to change your unhappiness to happiness. No. I can just be there and I can care about them. And that's what kind of leads us into this next concept, is you care. You care that they're healthy. And I think healthy means not only physically healthy, but healthy also means mentally healthy. You care that they're healthy, right? You care that when you go home, and Bill, when you go home and you see your girlfriend,
right,
you care if she's healthy. And she's a school teacher.
Yes.
And she's around a lot of kids with little snotty noses and a lot of germs, right?
Yeah. And I nag her all the time about trying to get more exercise.
And you nag her about exercise because you care about her health.
Yes.
Not because you want to nag, but because you care about her health. And I think that's what's so important. But also, to the next level, is you care about how they're mentally feeling. I mean, when you've made a call, and I know you've done it, I've done it, we've been working together for over 3 years, and we've heard each other make several calls to our significant others.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of which you're like, yeah, you're fine to stay in here, and others of which you're like, I'll be walking outside. And others of which, maybe you need to go to the refrigerator and get something to drink. I need a little space. But yeah, it's all about finding that healthy approach. And when you're on the phone with them and they're having a really rough day or been traveling a lot with work and you're talking with them, it's hard to kind of, you want to try to pull them out of the funk. And the only way to really help that is by being, you know, happy and joyful and jolly. But at the same time, no matter how jolly you are, it's probably not going to change their feeling, right? But at least you're not on the other side beating it into their head.
Right.
You know, oh, why are you so upset? What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
you
know, as if the, you know, it's their fault, you know, or they're doing it deliberately.
You know, just to bring you down,
right? You know, and you know, you got to respect the other person's feelings. They feel how they feel, in order for that person, you know, to get not get unhappy or to get happy, whatever the phrase is, you know, an acknowledgement of how they feel and their state of mind seems to me to be the starting point.
I agree with you. And it's like, are they healthy? I mean, you know, it's always important to ask. You know, sometimes when I'm around my husband, and he does it to me more than I do it to him, but, you know, he can catch certain nuances of things that I don't always catch. Like, I'm a very empathic person. I can feel what other people are feeling. And sometimes when I'm feeling that, I can kind of react a certain different way. And so he catches on to those things that are almost subconscious level, almost resonating at a certain level that I'm not even catching. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, because if you've been married for a long period, a good period of time, you don't even have to be married for that long as you communicate very well. But I think it's interesting, like he can actually think of a song, and I'm not even singing or doing anything, and I can walk through that same room and I will start singing the song that he's thinking.
And he'll weird.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And he'll be like, oh my God. And I'll be like, what are you doing? He's like, I was just thinking that song. And then you start getting freaked out. You're like, ooh, I better watch out what I'm thinking. Can he read my mind?
I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, oh God.
It's like I know what you're really thinking. I guess it comes to the point where, yeah, you know?
Yeah, you're like,
that's about to be true.
Yeah, and... what do you mean, where was I last night? Just kidding. No, but seriously, you care about their health, you care about their happiness. And, you know, when we return, we'll be talking more about health and also about well-being and how we actually care about our spouse and how we care about each other. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the formula for a successful and lasting marriage. Later on, we'll be talking about the marital scores. Where does your marriage score, and how can you actually increase that score? But now, let's talk about caring. Because, you know, in order to have a successful and, most importantly, lasting relationship and marriage, we got to care about each other. We got to actually give a hoot. We got to care what's going on in each other's lives. We got to care about each other's happiness. We have to care about promoting that happiness. We care about each other's health. We got to think about promoting each other's healthy lifestyle and them feeling healthy and secure within the marriage. That's what's so important, as well as caring about their well-being. I mean, life is tough enough if you're living with the enemy of the state. You know what I mean? Seriously, think about it.
If you get to the point where you're thinking that about your spouse, then something went off the tracks a long time ago.
Well, I have clients that come in here all the time, and literally the arguments that they have on a nightly basis. Let me give an example. Okay, one couple, and they come in separately, and when they began coming into my office... I wanted to see them separately. I couldn't deal with couples therapies because you really have to get to know each person. You can't take sides. You have to really understand. And I'll be honest with you, most therapists, especially with couples counseling, I always think they take sides. I mean, they make it so difficult for the one person that doesn't want to be there to be there. And it's interesting how women normally take the man's side and the men, therapists normally take the female side. Anyway, we'll get past that. So I was meeting with this couple and separately, and I was talking to the husband. And he's like, yeah, every night I get home and my wife's already had a bottle of wine. And she's opening bottle two. And there's like, it's unbelievable. He said, it's literally like clockwork. And by bottle two, by the end of bottle two, she's running around. She's literally going after him, pulling him off the couch, yelling at him, screaming at him. He goes upstairs, tries to get away. She tries to break down the door. After the breaking down of the door situation, then comes the situation that she says she's going to take the daughter away from him and divorce him immediately. Okay, you know what's crazy about this? Is this fight takes place 5 out of 7 days a week in that house.
Oh, that's insane.
Every single night.
I mean, I couldn't stand it.
Every single night. And think about the kid. Think about the kid. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, the kid's hearing all this. It's not like the kid's not hearing this. It's not like the kid is like, you know, deaf and doesn't have any feelings.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, the kid's picking up what's going on.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. They're screaming and yelling, and I'm going to divorce you, and I hate you, and I know you've been sleeping around on me and all this stuff, and it's just it's crazy. And we've talked about it. I said, you know, the thing is that you're not giving each other happiness. The thing is that you're both getting something out of this codependency relationship and codependent relationship based on the fact that y'all have gotten into the loving or the liking of being abused. You like this stuff. And in no way is this aiding on your happiness or your health. It's not helping your well-being. I mean, you're drinking more based on the situation. You're upset more. You can't sleep well. You're constantly taking medication to sleep. You're constantly dealing with the issues the next day. And it's not working. And if you're in one of those relationships, I mean, let's talk tonight. Let's go through this concept. But, you know, there's a time to talk. There's a time to get help. There's a time to reason. And then for some people, there's a time to run for the hills. I mean, I'm not sitting there saying that everything can work. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think that most relationships can work. But if you're in an abusive relationship or you're in a toxic relationship, I'm not going to sit there and advise for you to stay together.
No. You know, you shouldn't, because that's only going to harm you the more you stay in it. And, you know, of course, we've talked about this on previous episodes, Ashley. And shameless plug, if you want to go to Spreaker or iTunes or AshleyBurgess.com, you can listen to previous episodes of Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. I think that one of the greatest fears of people is fear of the unknown. And you'd rather deal with the devil that you know than the devil that you don't. And for a lot of people who are in abusive relationships, you know, just to use an example, quote unquote, the battered woman syndrome. Okay. Why do you stay with him? You know, he beats you up or abuses you, whatever. It's because the thought of living alone scares her worse.
And also, the other thing, too, is that she's been beaten down to believe that she needs this guy.
Right. And no one else will love her, and this is it. And,
she's told her that so much, she believes it.
And she's afraid of, being
alone.
Alone, yeah.
Because apparently she's trash, so nobody else is going to take the trash.
So it's the fear of the unknown, and that's the greatest fear of human beings, I think.
I think that is a big fear, and I think a lot of times, too, it's the fear of getting well. You know, in certain situations, when you've been living this life for so long, living a marriage that has been off the rails for so long, it's hard to try to figure out how to make it better. I was reading an article the other day, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but they were talking about when a marriage has gone awry for about 5 years, that it's hard to bring it back on check. And I agree that sometimes the longer we wait, obviously, to correct the problems in our marriage, it's going to be harder, maybe more time consuming. But I think that's just because of time. You know, if literally it's like a habit. If you've been doing something for 2 years, it's going to be harder to quit than if you've been doing something for 2 weeks. Okay, so it's the same thing as that if you've been in this marriage, And you know that you married this person because you love them. And you know that you married this person because you still love them. But there's still these issues where y'all feel like there's arguments that are taking place on a daily basis. And you feel that somebody's basically just pushing every one of your buttons. And the reason why they're doing that is to get attention at some level. And getting attention is a big deal in marriage. When somebody's pushing all your buttons, there's a lot of reasons why. And a lot of times it's because they don't feel like they're getting enough attention, or they don't mind the negative attention they're getting. It's like the kid, okay? It's like the same as the kid yelling at the parent at Walmart or at the mall or whatever, wanting something and trying to get it, and the parent's trying to take it away. You can't have it. And it's this whole negative reinforcement thing. It's the same thing in marriage, is that sometimes we get used to the negative reinforcement. Sometimes we get used to getting home and we're in a great mood and life has been treating us really well. And the next thing you know, we decide to start a fight. And we don't even realize why. We just walk in the door and you're like, hey. And then within the next sentence, your spouse is asking, are you okay? Is everything all right? You know, I'm fine. Just had a rough day. But it's like, was it really that rough before? I mean, until you got home. And I think a lot of times we get into that feeling where every time you come home, like, things don't always go the way you plan. You end up having an argument. You have a fight. And so you start getting into that kind of that mindset and that vibration. And I think that you can understand where I'm at right now, because I know for a lot of people, they can literally be in the best of moods and drive home and still be in a wonderful mood. You know, open the door, park the car, open the door, get out of the garage, do their deal, walk inside, everything's okay. And then right then, bam. It's like their entire mood changed. And a lot of the reason for that is because you've been fighting and bickering so much with your spouse that it's become second nature. And so even if you've been in a really good mood up until then, it's just like it's a habit. You come home, you throw your stuff on the ground, you're in an ultimate bad mood. And so for a lot of times, in order to show that we care, we have to actually step up to the plate and change some of these habits and patterns that we've created in our marriage. And I think almost everybody out there has some sort of pattern based on some sort of negative self-talk or negative talk that can be changed and bettered. And we'll be talking about that later on when we talk about marriage scores. So, you know, you can care, right? So we care, but do you show it? Okay, so let's talk about showing it. You showing that you care. I think one of the best ways that you can show a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend that you've been with for a long time that you care is to call and check on them. And let me actually calibrate this real quick. I'm not talking about calling and checking on them every hour on the hour. I'm saying maybe once during the day. Once is a good quality amount of time. Once during the day, you call and you check on them, you see how they're doing. That to me is cool. I mean, anything more than that is like overkill. I mean, anything more than that, when I hear spouses telling me that their spouse checks on them 5 to 7 times a day, I'm like, did they also put the GPS, scanner on your car?
That's abusive behavior right there.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And if they don't answer the phone, the spouse gets really angry. And I mean,
it's like, where are you? What are you doing? You know, who are you with? That type of thing.
And you know how that all started, really, is because in the beginning of the relationship, they let their spouse train them.
Yes.
See, so it's much like we train an animal. We train an animal because we train them how to sit, stand, do all this great stuff. We do all this great stuff with the animal. It's the same as a spouse. And one of my buddies said it really well. He said right before he got married, it was like a couple of weeks before, and he got up early in the morning and went jogging. And he was living with his girlfriend, his fiance at the time. And he got back about 7 a.m. in the morning to go to work. And she literally freaked out. Where have you been? What have you been doing? When did you get out of bed? Why didn't you wake me up to tell you and to tell me where you were going? Why didn't you have the audacity to tell me where you're going? And he was like, I got up and took a run. I jogged. Okay, I jogged.
Like that does pretty much every morning.
Well, he just said, I wanted to jog early. And what does it matter to you? And she's like, you should have told me. You should have woken me up. You should give me the heads up. You should have let me know exactly what you were doing, when you were planning on coming back home. Because I woke up at like 6:30, didn't even know where you were. And he's like, hold it. He goes, this isn't going to work for me. Okay, I went on a run. I ran 5 miles. I got a newspaper. I had a coffee. Not that that's any of your business. There's a point in time where I'm still a human being and I'm an independent person. And if we're going to get married, you're going to have to understand that. Because there'll be times when I leave the house, when you're asleep, I'm not going to wake you up. Why would I want to wake you up? And there'll be times when I might be hanging out after work. I'm not going to call you every second. It's just not going to happen. And I'm not going to live that way. And you know what? That was the best thing he could have done. Because if he would have gone into this marriage saying, okay, honey, I'm sorry. The next time I do that, I'll definitely wake you up. And I'll make sure to let you know where I'm at. And I'll call you at 4 just to let you know. And then when I get a coffee, I'll make sure to let you know where I'm at too. No, his marriage would be messed up. And when we return, we're going to be talking about this. Because a lot of y'all went on and gave in the beginning. And now you're dealing with the repercussions, and I'm going to explain how to deal with that later on. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about how to have a lasting and successful marriage. What are those things, what are those components that matter the most to have a marriage that works? You know, we've been talking about caring. We've been talking about you care about each other. And then we recently began to talk about showing it. How do you show that you care in a marriage? We talked about calling each other and checking on each other and making sure everybody's having a good day and things are going well and they're safe and happy. But let's just talk back on that story that I was talking about my friend. And he literally, had he given in before the marriage, i.e., we were talking about how he went on a run about 5 a.m. in the morning, got out of bed before they got married. They were engaged. They were living together. Okay, some of y'all might say in sin. I really honestly think that you need to live with somebody for a little while just to get to know them a little bit before you get married. Maybe even if it's for a week.
Just to see if they leave the toilet seat up or down.
Even if it's for a week, yeah. I mean, you might decide to just end it all right there. I can't believe this.
Or if they put the cap back on the toothpaste.
Stinky,
you know?
Socks on the floor.
Right.
Oh, God. And think about it. So he gets out of that bed at 5 a.m. in the morning. She's asleep. Okay? She's asleep. He goes out and runs 5 whatever miles. He goes and grabs a coffee somewhere, grabs a newspaper, comes home. She literally berates him as he walks in the door about 7 a.m. Where the heck have you been at? Where have you been? What have you been doing? I woke up at 6:30. Didn't know where you were. You should have had the audacity to wake me up. and tell me where you were going. You should have given me a call, let me know where you were. You should have let me know what you're doing. I mean, what was going on? And he's like, oh, slow your roll, okay? We're not getting married if this is the way this marriage is going. We're not going to do this. I'm not going to check in my certain areas. I'm not going to cut off things and put them in a jar and hand them to you, okay? I'm not doing that. We're marrying two people. I'm not your Ken doll that has no anatomy, okay? I am a man that has been fine up to now on my own. I was able to get out of the rain. I was able to take the bag off my head. I was able to figure out I wasn't born yesterday. I have a funny feeling that I'm going to be fine for a while. And so if you want to marry me, that's great. But I'm not going to be calling you every step of the way. If I want to go take a run in the morning, I'm not going to wake you up. One, I think it's rude. Okay, I think it's rude to wake somebody up that's sleeping to let them know where you're going. And finally, you know what? You are not my mother. Okay, I'm not marrying my mom.
Amen to that.
You know what I mean? That's a big deal.
Which, by the way, for all you heterosexual ladies, and I guess for the homosexual guys as well, never marry a guy who has never lived on his own for at least a year.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, you mean away from his parents?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even think about just a year. I mean, give it some time, you know?
Yeah, but at least. A person, especially, at least in my opinion, especially a man, needs to live on his own for a little bit.
I mean, it's funny. My husband's father was the youngest child in an Italian household.
Yeah.
Living in Brooklyn. And it's really funny because mom, you know, grandma, did not want her son, and he was the only son. It was all daughters, the only son and the youngest. And did not want him leaving the house. He moved out at 33 years old.
Yeah, that's I've heard that. That's an Italian woman thing.
Oh, yeah. He moved at 33 to get his own apartment in the city. And it was like you had taken my grandmother's like heart out, like you had taken it and thrown it away and not care.
Traditional Italian women, I mean, that's their life, to care for their, you know, their children, especially their sons,
especially the youngest son.
Yeah.
And I remember when you know, I've heard all the stories about when he married my husband's, you know, when they got married, and he married Peggy. And it was interesting because the mother was like, she'll never be good for you. You know what I mean? You'll never get over, you know, my cooking, and, you know, she'll never be able to make eggplant parmesan the way I did it, you know, and you're lucky you live. And it was very interesting, though, but you're right about the whole living thing, because he had a hard time. He didn't even know how to do laundry. He didn't know how to do anything.
His mother did everything for him. Yeah.
She never taught him how.
Just took it for granted. See, my mother, because my parents divorced when I was pretty young, and my mother made sure that my brother and I, by the time we were in high school, we knew how to do our own laundry. We had to clean our own rooms. We had to get ourselves up in the morning. We had
to cook. We
had to cook our own breakfast, or make our own breakfast. We were cereal by then. Make our own breakfast, get ourselves to school, do our own laundry. We knew how to cook a meal, not just for ourselves, but for the, you know, whole family.
See, if Bill was single right now, we'd put an ad out in the newspaper, you know? Totally trained up, smart guy.
Housebroken.
Looking for mate. Cook and clean. Not just cereal.
I mean, I'm not the world's greatest cook. But
you can cook something, right?
Yeah, I mean,
eggs, right?
Like if I had kids, let's say that I had kids and the wife had to go away for like a week, I could cook, you know, meals for the kids. Now, it may not be, you know, the most wholesome, nutritious meals, but they're not going to starve.
See, they're not going to starve, and that's key. For most people, that would be able to serve them a Snickers bar. That's pretty good. I mean, think about it. So let's talk about the repercussions, though. I mean, the repercussions behind that situation. Think about it. For most of us in marriages, guess what we did? We did the opposite of what my buddy did. What do? Oh, honey, okay, the next time I take a run, I'll definitely wake you up. I'll make sure to call you on the fourth mile just to let you know that I'm gonna head over to Starbucks eventually and make sure I can get your order for you.
Okay, I'm just completed mile one. I'm now on mile two, left foot first. I just turned right on Main Street.
Let me call you back because I hardly can breathe.
Right.
I'm a little out of breath because I've been on the phone the whole time. It's like, what the heck are you doing to me? I mean, you know, and that's where a lot of us are in our marriages. And I know a lot of people right there, they're like, oh my God, you're speaking my language, Ashley. You're preaching to the choir right now. Okay, and there's a way to get around that. We're going to talk about that later on in the second hour on marriage scores. Because there's a way to get around the repercussions of the stuff that we've agreed to. Because you know what? We might have agreed to it in the past, but we can change it now. Okay, you can change what you agreed to. You're allowed to. You can change a contract. You can change things. Things are fluid. They can change. And so I'm going to help you figure out how exactly you can change that later on. But for right now, we're talking about showing that you care. So let's talk about showing that you care. You know, one of the biggest things is that you appreciate that they are home. The last big argument that me and my husband had, and it was a big one.
It was. This one I had to hide under the table for.
It was bad, right?
It was bad, yes.
It was like one of those that you would see on a TV show, and it would be on
like,
a TV
like the reality
show.
TV, yeah.
It'd be like that, or it'd be on cable, actually, because it was pretty bad. I mean, it was different from reality because it was real.
Yeah, and definitely like pay cable, like HBO, because there was language involved.
There was a lot of language involved. I even made up language. Yeah, no, so the biggest thing is appreciating that they're home. And the argument that we had was I was actually at a business thing, and I got out early, and, you know, I like to see them. We have a good relationship. And so I ended up grabbing some food and bringing it home. And he had thought that I was going to be out till later. And he had thought I'd be out till later. So as I'm walking up to the house, I can hear like the TV blaring. Like I can hear like da 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 da.
It's like the building is rattling.
Yes, it was moving. And I'm like, what the heck is he looking at? What is he listening to? As I walk in, it's like so loud, right? I'm like, Greg, and nothing. Okay, I walk on by, and there's this film on, and it's got Keanu Reeves, right? And he's got like blood and glass and all this stuff in his hair. And he's like laying next to some car and some bomb has just gone off. And I'm like, what the heck are you watching? He's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. What are you doing home?
Well, geez, thanks, honey.
And I went, what did you say? And he goes, why'd you have to come home? I go, what do you mean, why did I have to come home?
I live here.
This is my home. This is where I'm going to be at. I mean, because then I get offensive because, you know how people can feel me. Because you know how it is when you go out. You're like, yeah, I went out. What's the big deal? But now you're like, I'm home. This is my home. And so there I was. And so I took major offense to it. And I realized that his issue was he wanted to watch a movie. And he knew that this wasn't going to be the movie that I wanted to watch.
And he probably just wanted some alone time.
Yeah.
And you know, just to watch the movie that he knew that you wouldn't enjoy.
Exactly.
And, you and he have, you know, your own lives and different schedules.
True.
And you, but you do enjoy each other's company. But I think it's like everything else. Sometimes you just need your alone time. And hence the term man cave, by the way.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, but he could have worded it differently.
Right. No, I'm not defending him at all. Yeah.
And it was funny because as I walked in the door.
Sorry, Greg. I love you, brother, but yeah.
Can't defend that.
I can't defend that.
He can't defend you, man, on this one. No, I mean, but he could have said it differently, but the weirdest thing about it is, you know, I have like that weird thing about electronics. I was walking the door and I make that comment, what are you watching? Right then and there, the Apple TV freezes.
Oh, so you cast the spell on it, huh?
I didn't know. I didn't mean to. And I actually tried to get it to work like 3 or 4 times. That thing just did not work. It was not going to play that movie. And so he looks at me. He's like, fine, I'm going to bed and going to read. You know what I'm saying? So we had this, like, it was a really great, good old fight. But, you know, the biggest thing is to appreciate that someone's home. I mean, even if, okay, so let's take this example real quick before we go to break. Think about what would have been the best thing to do at that situation. Think about how you could have actually maybe handled that situation better. And when we return, I'm going to talk about exactly how we could have handled that situation better, how everybody could have been more happier, and how I would have felt like I was appreciated, and how he could have had some time. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to be talking more about this. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in 2 shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about how you can keep your lasting and successful marriage, or make sure that you have one. You know, later on we'll be talking about the marriage score. What is your marriage score? And better yet, how can you actually score higher? So, you know, right before the break, I was talking about the concept of being happy and showing that you care and the fact that you care that somebody's home. And that's one of the biggest things is saying, you know, hey, I'm really happy that you're home, and showing that you care that they're home. And, you know, I recently had this argument with Greg, and, you know, he made the comment flippantly as he's watching some Cloak and Dagger film that he goes, oh, I didn't really wish he hadn't come home. And that totally set me off. That totally set me off. And I understand that he wanted some of his alone time, and I get it. I understand that he wanted to watch kind of a violent movie that he knew that I wasn't going to be privy to. I don't like violence. I don't need to see it. I don't want that. I don't want that in my subconscious. I don't want that in my conscience. I don't want to deal with that. I'm a big meditational guru, positive, no negative self-talk person. So I don't really want to go there. So there he is. And so I understand that he wanted to watch the movie. And I understand that he wanted some of his alone time. I get it. But in this situation, let's just say that it happens to you. In this situation, if you are the husband and your wife comes in with food. Oh, honey, thank you so much. You know, taking a second to pause the film is not a bad thing. Going over there, giving a hug to your wife is not a bad thing. Eating the food that she brought, or at least having a bite of it.
Or how about this? At the very least, saying, you know, baby, thank you so much for bringing it. Now, I'm not hungry right at this moment. Is it okay if I, you know, kind of take a portion, just put it aside, and I'll eat it after the movie's done?
That's totally cool, too.
Okay.
But actually acknowledging the fact that the person came home, that they brought food, right? Next thing is, hey, by the way, explaining how you feel. I thought you were going to a business dinner. I've had a really long week so far. I wanted to see this movie for a while. I've rented this movie for a one night, 24-hour deal on Apple TV or whatever. And, if I don't watch it now, I already started it. I'm going to lose it. And I would really like to watch it. And I thought you were going out. So how do we make this work? I would have definitely said at that point in time, hey, you know what? You're right. I said I was going to be out of this meeting. I ended up, you know, leaving early. I came home. I didn't give you the heads up. You know what? You're right. You go on and watch the movie. However, sometimes we get defensive because we start planning something in our head that we assume is going to all work out. And then when our plan is foiled, we get angry. You get mad because it's
because you take it personally.
You take it personally. Like, yeah. Oh, you're getting here on my free time. You're getting and that's important. And I think sometimes when we're married, too, we have to step back and look at it. Look at it not from being married, but look at it. Let's say that that was your best friend. Let's say that was your drinking buddy. Okay. Drinking buddy walks into house. Other drinking buddy is sitting on couch watching film. Okay. Drinking buddy walks in with a six pack of beer and some food. The other drinking buddy's going to, what are they going to do? They're going to stop and pause the film and go, man, you brought some food and some beer. That's cool. That's cool. You're going to at least pause and acknowledge the fact that the person has shown up with something that is desirable. Whether or not you want to drink or eat of that at the time, that's to be determined. However, you don't treat your friends like that, so don't treat your spouse like that. Okay, because a lot of times we get into that whole formation of, I've been married to this person for 20 years, and I'm sick and tired of them.
What's the old saying, of familiarity breeds contempt?
It certainly does a lot of times, because a lot of times we don't think about treating people well in that situation.
Because you just take them for granted.
I
mean, I'll treat my friends well because I don't see them on a daily basis, maybe, but, you know, the spouse, you know, eh.
Exactly. You don't think about that. I mean, and think about how many times we take our spouse for granted. I've done it several times. Okay, I've done it. I've done it several times. I went through, there was a part of like a whole year.
The example of the fight you just used. Okay, this time, you know, we you know, and again, Greg, I love you, brother, but, you know, I can't defend, you know, what he did. But there's also examples of fights where, Ashley, I love you, but you were probably the one in the wrong on that one.
I'm sure. I'm sure that one fight that happened 6 years ago was my fault.
Yeah.
I'll go back to that one and I'll agree. No, there are some that are my fault, too. And I have taken him for granted as well. There have been situations where I've totally taken him for granted. And situations where he's totally taken me for granted. And most married people can agree that there's sometimes where you just take each other for granted because they're always around. I mean, half the time you're thinking subconsciously, will I ever sleep with another person? Will this be the end of my life? Will this be the last person I sleep with? All these thoughts go through married people's heads. Don't think about it. Everybody thinks about this stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm just saying the obvious of what people think. I mean, these things go through your head. One of the biggest ones that married couples go through singularly, not together, is, will all my good looks go and this will be the end? This is all there is. This is it. I should have lived more. And I mean, when you have all those thoughts going on, plus the stress and all kinds of stuff and the kids and everything else going on, I mean, it's a tendency of taking each other for granted. And you can't, because otherwise it becomes this angry roommate scenario. I hate my roommate. They never clean up. They never do anything. We hate each other. I can't stand them. You know, and I've had friends like that that literally say that their marriage has become a roommate situation. Next thing is you can actually make dinner. You can show another person that you care by making dinner for them. You can show another person that you care by, you know, picking up their dry cleaning. You can show another person that you care by your actions. That's the thing, is that we haven't even talked about it. We're just talking about actions right here. You can show you care by doing various little things. You don't have to hang the moon, okay? You don't have to paint a mural on the wall from, like, South Beijing that you've memorized in your brain. You don't have to sit there for 250 hours and paint a mural. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can actually show by simple little ways. You know, next, let's begin to talk about how we communicate. So we talked about how you care, you show it, and now we're talking about, guess what? You communicate.
If you care and you know it, clap your hands.
Ding, ding. I'll get some little symbols here.
Right.
You should have some symbols, Bill.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Like little symbols.
I'm falling down on the job here, aren't I?
He needs to have those little finger symbols. You know, the ones that go around.
That belly dancers use? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
You can get the... Okay, I'm going to get those for
you. Maybe I should just belly dance.
Well, we could do that, too. Bill is now going to belly dance for Ashley.
Near, near, near.
Take a one-minute break.
Near, 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 near.
So, okay, think about communication. What does that mean? You talk with them. But the big deal is you don't talk down to them, okay? When we take people for granted, we have a tendency of talking down to them, especially our spouse. I mean, when was the last time you were out with your buddies and you started talking down to your buddy? Unless they owe you a lot of money and they just bought a new house and they haven't paid you back yet, probably not. I mean, I can think about that one instance, and yes, that might be something similar to my situation that I'm dealing with. However, when was the last time you talked down to your spouse? I think that's important to think about, because toward the end of my parents' marriage, and this happens to a lot of marriages from what I've figured out, especially through my career as a therapist, is that toward the end of the marriage, for most marriages, because they normally end their marriage at this point in time, some people don't work at it to try to save it, and other people realize it's too much water under the bridge. But toward the end, they start going out with their friends, and in the middle of going out with their friends at dinner, one of the spouses will start literally making fun of something that the other person just said. And not in a cute, cutesy, funny way. In a, you're an idiot, and you should shut up because you don't know what you're talking about.
In a patronizing, condescending way.
I've even heard...
Mean-spirited, yeah.
I've even heard some clients talk about how the spouse actually said, you are an idiot, shut up. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. That, to me, whoa.
That's way crossing the line.
Think about that. I mean, it's one thing to be behind closed doors, which is still not good to do this. It's another thing to be out in public in front of people that they know and you know, and to put down your spouse. And both situations are not good. Okay. Both situations need obvious work. I mean, you need to sit back and figure out how it got to this level. Okay. Where did the respect go? And when you're communicating with each other and you're talking with each other, that's so important, because you have to figure out how to express yourself and how to do it right without going off the handle. So stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking more about how to communicate successfully in your marriage, as well as later on talk about how and what your marriage score is. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about having a successful and lasting marriage and how to actually do that. Also, later on, I'll be talking about the marriage score. What is your marriage score, and how can you actually increase that score and make for a better marriage? So right before the break, we were talking about how we show, we care, and we communicate. And those three things are so important. And communication is one of those things that you just can't overlook, okay? You just can't overlook it. And the biggest thing is to talk to each other. To communicate. To talk to one another. You're supposed to talk to each other, and you're not supposed to be talking down to one another. And I know some of us fall into that category a lot where we just, we've dealt with this marriage long enough and somebody's not listening and you just get tired of it and you go, yeah, you know, to heck with you. But in actuality, we really need to actually talk to another person. We need to be honest with them. We need to express our true feelings. And we need to not just go off the handle. You know, I've had a tendency before where because you're married, you feel like the other person knows what you're thinking. They've got to be able to read my mind. We've been together for 15 years. How can they not read my mind? But you know what? For the most part, except for a couple of occasions, they don't. They really can't read your mind. And if you go off the handle, that just makes things worse.
It's like sometimes I'll tell Jen, you know, when they taught mind reading in high school, I was sick that day.
Did they only teach it for one day?
Well, apparently my high school.
You're like, for 20 minutes, Ashley, they talk. And you had to actually be reading the mind of the teacher to get it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Bill makes an excellent point. We don't mind read. I mean, you just really don't. I mean, sometimes you can. Yes, you can. You can train yourself on certain levels. But we're not talking about fourth dimensional type stuff. We're talking about communication in a marriage. So you don't want to get off the handle. And I know, you know, even if you're in a relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, it's easy, though, to like to somebody just push every button. They just get to you. You know, I can't believe they don't understand this. But we have to allow them to talk, too. And that's such a big deal. We have to allow other people to express their feelings, right? It can't just be us expressing our feelings day after day, week after week, year after year, telling our spouse exactly how we feel and not allowing them to do the same. I mean, I've been in relationships before my marriage where they would talk all about them, all about them. And then when it was time for me to say something, they were either like, I'm too tired, let's go eat, or I'm going to bed. And you're just like, what? What's this relationship about?
And yeah, and you know, sometimes Jen and I have that discussion because you know, I work a crazy schedule, and sometimes that's her complaint about me, is that when we do go out, by the time we get back home, I'm just too tired, and I just need to go crash.
And Bill's really like, yay, honey, let's have a little sexy sex, and then
something like that, yeah. I'll admit it, I've done that before.
You know, but it happens when you're tired, right?
Yeah,
it happens. It's a human condition.
Yeah.
It's a human thing.
Yeah,
right?
I'm a human being after all, so sue me.
See, exactly. I mean, we all go through those things, but in the most part, in the majority of the time, we have to allow each other to talk, and we can't suppress it. And I have clients that come in to me and talk about how, you know, they're hanging out, and they're doing this and that, and they try to express to their spouse how they feel about something deep. But their spouse isn't a deep thinker. They don't like to talk about deep things. And I said, well, did you know about this before you got married? I mean, because this is kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, and I think that's sometimes where emotional cheating comes in, is when somebody's married, they can't express how they feel to their spouse. And eventually, guess what happens? Emotional cheating. They meet someone that they can talk to. They meet someone that they can have these conversations with, and then they start communicating with that person more than their spouse. And then the spouse goes, well, I have no idea how this happened. Well, you know where it happened at, is every time at night when your wife wants to talk about X, Y, Z, and you don't want to talk about it. Eventually, they're either going to succumb and not talk about it at all and be you know, basically jaded by life, or they're going to go find someone to talk to about it, and it's definitely not going to be you. And so there comes a time where you can't always get your cake and eat it too. Okay, if you're married, you bought the cow. Okay, we're talking about the cow and the milk, and I think that's always a funny example. It's like, why did they pick the cow for that example? Why do they say that women are the cow? But anyway,
Well, there's kind of obvious parallels there, isn't there? You know,
the boobs,
cow,
the milk.
Cow milk. You know.
Oh, I get it, yeah. But still, I mean, those are teats. You know, I mean, they're teats. They're a little different.
And well, of course, I don't make that analogy in mixed company. Most women don't like to be compared to cows, at least in my experience.
I think cows are great, but I don't know. I mean, it's cute and all, but, you know, not so much. You know, it's kind of like, you know, your
husband. Besides, if you're Hindu, then it's a sacred animal, so you got to be careful.
Hindu.
There you go.
So it's okay if you're a Hindu man that speaks of his woman as a cow. I guess that's why they did the Conquerors of the Cow.
I guess so.
You know, in all the books, all the Kama Sutra books. Interesting.
There you go.
The Conquerors of the Cow.
See, listen to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. You learn new things.
The cow is sacred.
Yes.
The Conquerors of the Cow.
Which is why Hindus are vegetarians.
And we won't get into the fact of what the conquest of the cow is, but we'll continue talking about communication. If you're interested in that, go check out a book on Kama Sutra and decide what you think.
The radio term for what we just did, ladies and gentlemen, is a tangent. Look it up in Wikipedia.
I thought that was some sort of geometric shape.
No, that's a well, okay, I guess it could be.
But I was just kidding.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
See, you have to allow each other to be silly.
So you're not communicating with me well right now.
Oh, see, I'm going off on a tangent, apparently. I'm a cow that's going off on a tangent. So now I see how it all comes
together.
That's
right.
All you women out there, sign your write cards and letters and postcards to the Perspectives Show and say how much you're upset with Bill about saying that I'm not communicating, because I think it's time to discuss communication.
Fine.
Interesting.
Whatever.
Judgment.
Whatever.
Judgment-free zone. Okay, that's a big deal for marriage, and a lot of people don't fess up to that. They make judgment on their spouse all the time, constantly throwing judgment, constantly throwing blame. And the thing about it is, a lot of times when we throw judgment, where is the judgment coming from? Inside our head. And so we're feeling like we're being judged too. And that's one of the biggest things, is that when you feel like you're being judged, you start throwing judgment all over the place. But remember, that doesn't really work, because judgment will come back at you. You know, we get what we give. You know, also, let's talk about we respect. So what have we done tonight? We talked about you care, you show it, you communicate, but also you show and you respect. And respect is such a vital thing, because, you know, we talked earlier about not talking down to your spouse. If you respect them, you're not going to talk down to them. You're not going to talk ill about them. You know, you're also not going to make comments in front of others or in front of other people, or talk about your spouse behind their back. And I know that a lot of people in the beginning of a marriage, when things start going a little awry, what's the first thing that happens? They go and talk to, if it's the wife, she normally will go talk to her mother. If it's the husband, he'll normally talk to a buddy. And they'll talk about how, you know, upset they are about, you know, what their wife's doing. I can't believe Sally did this and da 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 da. Or the other side, I can't believe John did this. He did this, 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 and that. And depending on who they go and talk to about the problems with their spouse, they have problems later. So if they talk to the friend like the husband talks to the friend, the friend's really normally not going to probably have any sort of issues, except for if the husband was talking about a bunch of bad stuff, a bunch of things that were really irritating him and hurt him, the friend might harbor kind of anger, silent anger toward the spouse. It happens all the time. And when they go out to dinner, you can kind of see it in little nuances. The passing of the bread plate seems to be a little issue there. There might be a little attitude. And the wife has no idea where the attitude's coming from, doesn't understand why her husband's best friend seems to be having attitude. On the flip side, wife talks to her mom about the relationship, about how things are not going that well, about how John did this and John did that, and he was out late one night. I don't know where he was. He didn't answer his phone. He didn't come home until 2:30 in the morning. I still don't know where he was. We still don't talk about that. Mom begins to harbor problems with John. The next thing you know, they're out at brunch, hanging out. Maybe a little comment's made. You know what I mean? A little small comment. Maybe a little comment about also, you know, take you aside, talk to you about the family will without John anywhere around. Because we don't really know if this is going to go into the crap or not. You know what I mean? People really wonder that kind of stuff. And it's like, when you talk bad about your spouse, remember that the person you're talking bad about your spouse with will remember this for the rest of their life. Okay? They're going to remember this. And when time comes, they're going to call you on it and be like, well, I thought so-and-so was bad. Or are they still doing this to you? And a lot of times people take sides, and it's just normal. If you go and tell your best friend that your husband's a jerk and doing this and that, if your best friend's your best friend, they're gonna harbor ill will toward your husband. They're going to be upset with him.
You know, here's a good example, Ashley. I was listening one day to another nationally syndicated radio program during the week, and it was a financial advice show. And the woman called in and said, you know what, I'm discussing with my husband, we're having marital issues, or I'm sorry, I'm let me back up, we're having financial issues, this is, you know, blah blah blah, here's the cause of it, and he just won't talk to me about it, and you know, he's an idiot, he's a moron, and all this stuff. And the host was kind of thunderstruck for a second, and he didn't even try to advise her on the specific financial issue. He goes, well, ma'am, if my wife talked about me to other people like that, I wouldn't want to talk to her about anything either.
It's true.
So my advice to you, forget this financial stuff. You need to go to a marriage counselor, because there is a lack of respect in your marriage. And if you can respect your spouse again, you'll find that issues like this will kind of take care of themselves.
Understand. Exactly. And that's first and foremost to show respect. So when we return, we'll be talking more about how you can respect your spouse, how you can go through that, as well as how to deal with not putting them down and also being able to deal more with respect. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight I'm giving you the Burgess formula for a successful and happy marriage. You know, also later on we're going to be talking about the marriage score. What's your marriage score, and how can you actually maximize that score to an A+? So right now we've been talking about the concept of respect. Do you respect your spouse? You got to show respect. Respect is cornerstone for a good marriage. You know, it begins with not talking down to your spouse, about not making rude comments to your spouse, as well as not putting them down in front of other people. It's a big deal. I mean, think about it. When you do that with your friends or your family members and you talk about your spouse in a negative way, it's hard for them to let that go. Even if it was just a small fight, and in the heat of the matter, you left the house, stormed out, and called your family or called your best friend and told them what was up, and then the next day you wake up and the light of day doesn't seem so bad. But you know what? You're going to have an amazing amount of calls that morning asking if you're okay. Are you okay? How's it going? Have y'all made up? All that good stuff. And you have to remember that people hold that and they harbor those issues, especially family members. If you're over there telling your mom or dad how bad your spouse is, eventually over time, it's going to come out. Or your family member is going to hate the fact that you're married to that person because they're going to see him as a total jerk. How can you be married to this jerk that treats you with such disrespect? I mean, you tell me about how disrespectful they were. And so remember that when you say things outside the marriage, it doesn't go away. It's just like Facebook. You put up a picture up there for women out there. You put up a naked picture up there. You know what? It's never going to go away. Forever, that picture will be somewhere in Google, somewhere on Facebook, no matter how many times you try to erase it. It's the same thing for when you talk ill about your spouse. And if it's that big of a deal and you're having really big problems with them, you need to be talking to them. I mean, going behind and talking behind their back isn't going to help. And I know for a fact that the only way you can normally resolve big issues in life is by doing what? Going to the source. Dealing with it at the source factor. Not over there talking about it to other people, but just going right at it. You know, the next thing too is that you even respect them behind closed doors. You know, a lot of people say, well, I respect my spouse in public. I don't put her down out in public. But when I have something to say, I'll say what I have to say in private. Well, I understand. I mean, hey, at least you're doing the not airing the dirty laundry in public. Now, I get that. You got something going for you on that one. However, come on now. I mean, you know, life's hard enough sometimes. I mean, if y'all are having issues where you're having knockdown, drag-out fights or having arguments or being angry or being like, you know, snippet with each other on a constant basis, y'all have got to figure out why is that? Why are we arguing?
And, you know, not only why are you arguing, but why are you choosing to make it personal? If you're putting that other person down, if that's your response to an argument, then there's something deeply fundamentally wrong with that relationship.
And also, you're taking it personally. And a lot of times when we actually make it a personal issue, for example, like putting someone down, that's a lot. Like, I mean, I'll have an argument with somebody, but I'm not putting them down. I'll just be like, hey, I don't agree with you on this, and this is where I find fallacy in your story. But it's not like, you know, you're a jerk, you're an idiot, I'm going to beat you down first, and then I'm going to argue with you. And I think you're right. You have some serious problems in the marriage. And the only way to get past that is to communicate. And if you've never communicated before, this is going to be ultra hard. Because you got to, like, start over new. You got to start over from scratch. You got to actually set up a new structure because the current structure is not working. The current system has broken down and is falling apart. And, you know, we've seen that in governments around the world. We've seen where things happen and things fall apart. And there'll be a time where there's a reconstruction period. And that reconstruction period will be kind of painful. It will be difficult. And I have a good example about that reconstruction period, which is so interesting because we all have it. We've all been through it to some degree or another. I had a couple that came into my office about a year ago. Wow. And both of them had met, you know, years back. They got married and they were both big time drinkers. They love to drink. That's their mainstay. You know, if they were out partying, they were drinking. If they were on vacation, they wake up at 9 a.m. and they start drinking. They go to the Jimmy Buffett concerts. They hang out for 3 days before the concert starts. They are out there tailgating with their friends and camping and drinking. Drinking is their deal. Okay? And so eventually, though, what happens is you're going to have one person that eventually gets tired of the drinking. And I figured out that when people are in childbearing years, the first person to want to stop drinking is the wife. Because what? She has to. Because she wants to have a kid.
Right.
And so you have to stop drinking. And so that can be really hard on her because she's been partying this whole time. And their whole marriage has been resurrected on the fact that they're drinkers. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they were both Bible beating, not drinking. They were both drinking.
On a previous show, didn't you give the example of you were counseling a couple one time, and the wife is going, "Well, I mean, you know, you're a married man. You should stop drinking." And the guy said, "Well, I was a drinker when you married me. What do you expect?"
Totally.
Yeah.
And that you can actually find that show on Spreaker.com or on AshleyBurgess.com.
Shameless blog.
I just did what Bill does. Yeah, I don't know if I do it as good, though. I don't know. I think you do it better. I think you have that accent, the shameless plug accent.
This
better.
Has been the Shameless Plug segment on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Da-da-da.
We need to come up with some music on that.
We do. I got an idea.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that off the air here. But no, seriously, yeah, you're right. There was that. And there's still, the situation is it's not working out very well because they're trying to change him. In this situation, this woman wants to have this baby. Okay. So they get pregnant. She stops drinking. And, you know, he's still drinking. And so while she's, you know, pregnant with the kid, you know, it wasn't until like month six that it just like hits a fan. You know, I had to stop drinking to have a kid. And there you are over there doing your thing. Drinking even more than you were drinking when we were drinking. And the husband's like, "I don't think that's possible."
Because Lord knows I've tried.
I've tried to drown out your voice so many times. It's just not working. God bless this rum. Did somebody take all the alcohol out of it?
Yeah.
So she got really kind of angry. And the big deal was that they were based on this relationship. They were based on drinking. And then they had to deal with the fact that he's drinking and she wasn't drinking. And this can be a reconstruction phase because they've got to figure out how to deal with it. And even after she had the child, she decided that she didn't want to go back to drinking. One, she realized that drinking wasn't healthy. And two, right after she gave birth to the baby, within like 2 or 3 months, she lost all that baby weight. And she was like, "Man, I'm looked better than I ever have." You know, because she was drinking a lot of alcohol, putting on a lot of weight on a daily basis, right? So all of a sudden now the marriage goes into this transformation where he's drinking, she's not, and she's getting resentful. And you have to have a time where you respect each other, where you can come together and try to figure out what works. And I think a good key to marriage is to try to come into the middle, try to figure out some sort of middle ground, but to also realize that sometimes it takes other people longer to change old habits. Okay? And that's one of the big deals about marriage. And sometimes we have to deal with other people's habits that we agree to walking in the marriage. We agree to these things and we might have made a change. But eventually two people have to go toward the same direction. Example, I can't be over there wanting to have a major successful career and doing everything I can and really be on top of my game and being responsible and being married to a guy that drinks all the time, that drinks till 3 a.m. in the morning, that doesn't go to work, that doesn't have a job and plays video games. It's probably not going to work out for me very well, okay? And so both people have to kind of come together and figure out what is going to work. And in all these situations, whether it's talking about caring about each other, when you care about each other, you care about each other's health. You care about each other's happiness. And there might have been a time that both of you weren't caring about your health at all, and both of you were just going willy-nilly into 5,000 degrees different directions and having a blast about it, but eventually responsibility came in. And I'm not saying that marriage has to be all about responsibility. I'm not saying that it has to be all boring and humdrum and life's never going to get any better and you're never going to have any fun. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that in order to really have a good, successful marriage, you have to care about each other. You have to show that you care about each other, meaning you have to, you need to show appreciation. You need to show caring, as well as you want to communicate with each other, not talking down, expressing your feelings, allowing other people to express their feelings. And this particular couple was able to actually work through their problems based on a health condition, based on him needing to get healthier and more in tune with his body. Also, he was having more difficulty dealing with stress. The more it seemed that he drank, the more stress he seemed to have. And there's a lot of correlations there, as well as she realized that it didn't have to be all or nothing. I mean, just because she chooses not to have one alcoholic beverage doesn't mean that he can't have one or two or whatever, but there has to be some sort of middle ground. So when we return, we'll be talking more about that, as well as I'm going to begin to discuss the marriage score and what score you have and how you can actually begin to score higher. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking tonight about how to have a successful and happy marriage, and now let's begin to talk about the Burgess Marriage Score. How you can actually score your marriage, right? Let's talk about what the score means. How do you gather points? And I kind of look at it as a point system of like 0 to 100. You know, just like a test, just like you're back at school taking a test. 0 to 100, you know, 0, I hope you weren't there for that. I hope you just didn't show up, because if you got 0, that's pretty rough. And so let's begin with that.
And now, is it the higher, like it worked in school, the higher the score, the better? So, you know, 90 to 100 is an A and blah, blah, blah?
Yes.
Okay.
90 to 100 is an A. So let's think about this. You, in order to show up, and you have a pulse, okay? A pulse. You have a pulse, you show up.
Boom, boom.
You already at like, I would have to say you're already at like 40, 50, right? I mean, because really, you're like at an F to have a pulse.
So, okay, right? So this is like the SATs then. As long as you can spell your name correctly, then you've already like scored a 500 on it.
Is that what you score for putting your name on there?
I mean, I don't know what the exact thing is, but I think as long as you put your name on there and spell it correctly, you automatically get some points out of it.
That's kind of sad. I know some people that worked really hard. I think they got a 700. Maybe they answered two other questions in addition to their name signing. That's funny. Yeah.
That is funny.
For everybody that had problems with the SAT, okay, you know, it happens. So, yeah, you're right. You show up. You have a pulse. You're married. You're both in the same household. You're living together. You haven't moved out. You're not separated. I would give that a 60 because you're in the group, right? You're okay. A 60 is an F, right? A 59, a 60 is a full-on F plus. Okay, I'd give it an F plus.
Okay,
so there you are. Let's just round it up to 60. Makes it easy.
Okay, make it 60. Okay, got it.
So we got a 60 right now. So how do we continue to move up in our score? Well, you know, let's talk about that. First off, caring. Caring goes a long way to increase your score, okay? Caring. Sharing is caring. Caring is sharing. Think about it. Caring. You care about their happiness. And if you truly care about your spouse's happiness, that means that you care about what they do in their career. You care about what they do in their pastime. You care that they have friends. You care that they have fun. You know, you're really looking at the fact that you're not trying to monopolize their life as well as not trying to control them. Okay, because if you really care about the happiness of your spouse, you're checking the fact that you're not trying to control them. Because control is antithetical to happiness. Nobody can be happy in a controlled, you know, Hitler regime. Nobody's going to be happy with that. So you have to sit there and check yourself and realize when you're trying to be controlling, when you're being overbearing, and when you're not allowing your spouse to honestly be happy. And I think that part right there is like at least 10 points.
Yeah, it's they're your spouse, not your pet.
No. And even with your pet, you let them have a little bit of fun. I mean,
yeah, you talk about the backyard and at least play fetch with them, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're over there going, nope, 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 nope. I mean, yeah, they're going to do some crazy stuff, but you're right. You're not going to sit there and go, nope, no ball for you, and put it up in a little cage and let them see the ball and just like whine about it, you know?
Yeah.
You have fun. And so I think that the happiness is a big thing. And I think that alone counts for 10%. I mean, 10 points. 10 points right off the bat. I think that if you allow your spouse to be happy, you're not over there controlling them, you're not over there wondering what they're doing every single second, calling them up, you know?
In other words, you allow that person to be their own person. It's when I got involved with Jen, it's the one of the first things I said to her was that, look, I'm not talking about, you know, little bad habits like leaving the toilet seat up or the cap off the toothpaste. All I want you to do is accept me for who I am, warts and all. Okay? If you can do that, and I'll do the same for you, then we're going to get off on the right foot.
And most people would like to do that. I don't think most people do that, though.
That's right.
I mean, you made a conversation. You started a conversation that most people never have until after they're married. And then the problems have arisen.
Well, the reason I had that conversation almost up front was that I'd been burned in a relationship where I'd actually been engaged in. And that's the primary reason why I just finally called it off. Look, I got to the point where I was no longer going to be the Ken doll.
I understand, and that's key, and I think that's why being happy and allowing your spouse to be happy without control is 10 points. So if you can honestly do that to the highest degree, you're at a 70. Now, some of y'all listening tonight, you have a tendency of being controlling. You have a tendency of nitpicking. You have a tendency of calling too much during the day to ask where your spouse is. Okay, and you have to sit there and realize that you can't control somebody 24/7. And when you do, they become unhappy. And also, guess what? It makes you unhappy, and also it turns into another situation. If you're thinking your spouse is having an affair, and you're over there checking to make sure they're not doing anything, eventually the spouse is going to get so angry if they're not having an affair that they're probably going to get pushed into either having an emotional affair or having a physical affair. And so this is crucial. If you want to keep your marriage and you want to keep a stable and happy marriage, the last thing you want to be doing is overanalyzing and micromanaging your spouse. There's no time for that. You will lose the marriage. If you don't lose the marriage, they will be cheating on you. So if you want to keep your spouse from cheating on you and you want to keep your spouse happy and you want to keep the bickering down to a minimum and you want to be happy being around each other and congratulate each other for what you're doing and to pat each other on the back, you're at 70. So right now we're at a 70. We're at a D. I consider that a full-fledged D. The next part is to really show it, to show that you care. And, you know, I was just talking about not calling them over and over again. I'm not saying to end calling altogether. But I am saying that minimum communication with the desire to say, hey, I care about you, with the fact that you care, not about being obtrusive, not about being interfering, not about second guessing and spying. I mean, example, I have a couple that come in here the other day and the husband actually spies on the wife and takes time off from work to follow the wife in his car two car lengths down.
And that is just totally unacceptable.
Sits
totally.
Outside while she's getting her hair done and would call up his friends and they'll be like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm watching my wife.
And I've also heard of cases where husbands will hire private detectives to follow their wives around. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, spouses who will, secretly install cameras, that type of thing.
Or put GPS on their car.
Yeah.
And on their phone. So next, you know, think about that. If you're calling and checking in, that's great once in a while. That shows that you care. As well as when you're appreciating that they're home. Showing appreciation that they're in your life. Caring about them. General care, okay? Next, also, you know, making small things like dinner. Maybe perhaps buying flowers or just even if it's just whatever. Let's just say your spouse was needing something like some Post-it notes. And you thought about getting the Post-it notes and you drove by the office depot and you got the Post-it notes and you brought them home. It's not an expensive deal. I get it. But you had to go out of your way, quote unquote, to go do it, drop them off the house. There they are. And you did something for your spouse that shows that you care. I think when you show your care and you do it as much as you can and your spouse and the thought of being there for your spouse comes first. Like a lot of us sometimes until you get in that groove, like the thing that they were talking about they needed is the last thing you thought about. It's the one thing you didn't do when you were out and about for 7 hours is get the Post-it notes. You got everything else but the Post-it notes, didn't care about the Post-it notes, never thought about going to Office Depot. So you got to have it, it's almost like a good Christmas gift. It's not about the most expensive thing, it's the most mindful thing. And I think when you think about it that way, and you actually show you care, I think if you do it right, you can add another 10 points. If you're constantly doing it. And I know that it's not going to be a perfect deal here, I get it. I'm not saying this is going to be perfect, awesome, every single time. But you can kind of realize there's some points taken here and some points added based on the things that you do. And when you go out of your way, it's a big deal. So let's go to the next thing. You communicate. Wow. Communication is the most underrated thing.
Like actual communication, Ashley, come on now. Like actual words, is that what you're talking about?
Actual, you know, meaning
and stringing them into sentences, complete sentences?
Yes. Complete sentences.
I mean, what's next? You're going to ask us to fly you to the moon? I mean, come on.
Well, okay, I'll ask you that next week.
Okay, I'll get to work
on
it.
I'll give a little time between here and there. I'll continue to drink my 7-Eleven coffee, and I'll give you a little time between here and there. But yeah, communicate. And I realize we have all this technology right now. I get it. But a lot of times we fail to communicate. I don't want to hear if you bought the most recent Apple freaking watch. I don't care. It's not about that. It's not about go-go gadget. It's about, do you actually sit down and communicate with your family, communicate with your wife, communicate with your husband? Do you express your honest feelings? Not mean feelings. Not, I hate you. I never want to see you again. I'm talking about, do you express your feelings in a situation instead of going off the handle? Okay? Instead of losing it and pulling the door off the cabinets in the kitchen and throwing them on the ground or taking a bunch of plates and throwing them or whatever it is, instead of going off the handle, can you sit down and express your feelings in a mindful way? Also, allowing them to talk. Do you allow them to have any talk time? Do you? I know a lot of people go, man, you talk a lot, Ashley. Do you allow your spouse to talk? Well, yes, I do, because I get my talking out Sunday through Sunday. But the one thing is that I realize that when we don't allow our spouse to talk, that's not right. That's unfortunate. We got to allow other people to have a perspective. It's not just your perspective. It's not just the high and mighty perspective. You have to let other people have a conversation and talk. So we're going to be talking more about the point system, as well as I'm also going to give you two ways that you can add more points to your relationship and better your marriage. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about successful marriage. What makes a successful marriage? And right now I've been talking about my Burgess marital score sheet. Okay, there's a marital score sheet, and in order to score highly, you have to actually gain some points. And later on, in just a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about also a couple of options that you can use in your marriage right now to increase your score. And so right before the break, I was talking about how caring, when you care, we start at a 60, we start at an F. If you have a pulse, and you're married, and you're still living in the same household, preferably in the same bedroom, okay, you're at a 60. And then you add points by adding you care. You care is 10 points, allowing somebody to be happy, not controlling them, not micromanaging them. You know, you show it when you show that you appreciate them, that you show that you care how they're doing, that you actually do small things for them or big things for them because you care about them and you go out of your way to do stuff. Okay, that's another 10 points. Now, you might lose points here and there based on the human condition. However, you can always increase those by being altruistic. Okay, by really thinking about them, by allowing them to be happy, by allowing them to grow. And remember, the more you allow them to grow and be happy, they're the more they're going to let you do the same. Okay, next, we talked about communication. And so right now, in communication, you know, not talking down to them, expressing how you feel without going off the handle, without getting violent, without getting angry, without screaming profanities, as well as letting them express themselves without judging them. Okay? Think about it. And you don't always have to solve the problem. And I have a tendency of doing that, and it's kind of backwards in my marriage, is that I have a tendency of wanting to be the solver. You come to the household with a problem, Burgess is going to solve it for you. I've always been really good at that. However, my spouse has a tendency of just wanting me to listen just for a second. And I eventually realized that, like, year three into our marriage, and I realized that the last thing he wants me to do is just to solve it like that. Because I think that he's already solved it. He just wants to talk about it. And so communication is highly important. Doesn't matter how much technology you have. I'm talking about communicating honestly with your spouse. That's another 10 points. So if you feel up to this point, that you communicate, that you care, and that you show it at 100%, you're at a 90. You're at an A. You're at a 90.
That is a pretty good relationship, by the way. I mean, you know, communication is a very big deal.
It's huge. So now let's talk about the last part, the last 10 points.
This is for the perfect valedictorian, right?
Yes. We're giving the honors band. They're up on stage.
Giving the speech.
Yay. And with a 4.0, Bill Barnett. See, that's what it is.
Actually, I graduated 4.2, but we'll get into that later.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Not that I'm bragging or anything.
Yes, bragging riots over here at the producer level here. So let's talk about respect. You respect. So you show respect. You don't talk down. You don't make rude comments in front of others, in front of your family members, in front of them. You don't even, you even really curtail your comments behind closed doors. Because there's always a better way of saying things instead of being rude and obnoxious and using names and putting someone down. Because when you start putting someone down over a period of time, that's called mental abuse. And mental abuse is no bueno. It's not good. And, you know, you have to sit there and think about it. If something is really bugging you or someone's doing something that you think is really, really bugging you, you got to sit down and talk with them. Communication is so important. I can't stress the level of communication that's so important. It is the cornerstone of a relationship. Also, when you respect someone, it goes back to caring about their happiness. It goes back to understanding that they're an individual with their own needs, that just because you want to do this doesn't mean that they want to do this. And on the flip side, just because they want to do this doesn't mean that you have to do that. I mean, just because your wife likes ballet or you like ballet doesn't mean that your spouse has to like it. You don't have to like everything. You don't have to go everywhere together. You can have some separation, okay? That actually might make you a little healthier.
Yeah, I mean, I like hard rock music. Jen likes country music. And I'm not necessarily a country music fan, but I respect that she likes what she likes. And we've actually been to country music concerts because that's what she wanted to do.
See? And you don't have to go to every country music concert with her. She doesn't have to go to every heavy metal band with you.
Right.
I mean, you know, hey, you can go with your friends, too. When you got married, you didn't take an oath that said you can't ever have any friends. And I feel like some of y'all out there feel that way. Well, I took this oath, and I'm married now, and so I can't have any fun. You can have fun, but just remember, you still got to grow the marriage. You can still have fun. You still have responsibilities, and you can do your own thing. But, you know, sometimes you got to come together and understand that maybe it might not be exactly what you want to do, but coming together sometime and getting that middle ground shows respect and says, hey, I'm going out of my way for you. And you don't have to sit there and tell them how much you're going out of your way either. They get it already. I mean, Bill understands the fact that he's not a big country and western fan. He's not a big country fan, but he'll go to that concert. He doesn't have to sit there and tell his girlfriend, I went out of my way, honey. No, not at all. She knows that by realizing that he's going. So let's talk. So we think about that. If you got that respect going for you, that respect factor, if you respect your wife or your husband, and you go out of your way to show respect, and you also don't go out of your way to talk crap about them, and you actually, when you're talking about them, you're talking highly about them, or you're not talking about them at all, that's another 10 points. That's 100% right there. If you're doing that all fully successfully. And I know that a lot of you will be like, there's no way you can get 100. And I'm not saying that you ever want to get 100 because 100 is perfection. And is perfection reality? I don't think so. I think it's all within the eyes of the beholder. However, I think if you can get somewhere within that 80, 85 to 90 something percentile, you're doing really well. I mean, 85 is a really great score. I mean, to me, that's a great score. I mean, for everybody that's listening out there, if you're scoring something like that, you've got a great marriage. So let's talk about the two things that you can do real quick to increase that score and to maybe help out situations that have maybe gone awry throughout the years of marriage. The first thing everybody can probably do to some degree is to reposition yourself in the marriage. And what that means is to reposition yourself in the marriage. It means to actually change something that maybe you originally agreed to, day one, that you no longer agree with. So the example that I gave earlier in our show about my friend that literally looked at his wife after she went berserk on him for not waking him up, for not telling her that he was going to go jogging. And when he walked back, she started yelling at him, where have you been? What have you been doing? And he's like, I went jogging. She goes, you should have told me. You should have woken me up. You should have called me. You should have done it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live my life like that. I'm not going to marry somebody that wants to be my mother. So for everybody out there that has fallen into this tragic situation that in order to get married, you thought that that's what you had to do. And so you gave in. And it could be in very different examples, but I think it's similar. In that situation, you can reposition yourself slowly through repetition and spousal training. Okay, so a way to do that would be you stop reporting in. And I'm not saying, like, just cut it off. I'm not saying, like, you're nowhere to be found. You're MIA. I'm just saying, if you're calling in, let's just say 4 times a day, you're calling in. Cut that to 2. If they start calling you more, you don't answer the phone. When you get home from work, if they go, well, I called you twice and you never answered the phone. Yeah, I know I'm working. I got a lot of work to do. I talked to you a couple times already today. I'm feeling pretty good about that. And eventually it's probably going to come to a head and you're going to have to explain the fact that, you know what? I love you and I've been doing this for a long period of time, but I don't feel respected that way. And I feel like you're micromanaging me. And eventually, out of repetition, you will spousally change. You'll train your spouse to respect you more. But you got to do it. You got to do it head on because it's been going on for years. You can't turn that on a dime. You can't just go MIA because there's going to be a lot of more repercussions from that. However, you can slowly dwindle that down. So if it's the phone calls from 5 to 3, if it's 3 to 1, dwindle that down and get your life back. You're an individual too, right? I mean, when you got married, you didn't lose your identity. They didn't put your identity back into some computer somewhere and say, okay, now you're A1. Go live your life. No, you have an identity. Get it back. And the way you do it is to reposition yourself in the marriage. Just because you gave away your freedoms and your rights in the beginning doesn't mean that you can't get them back now. Okay? It's time to get it back because I think that'll make you feel better about being in the marriage. It'll make you feel better that you're in this marriage and you'll feel happier about being in the marriage because you know what? You got your rights back. I mean, and you know, you've been thinking about this since day one when you made the agreement that you shouldn't have made. I.e., okay, honey, I'll call whenever I need to. And this applies to a lot of people out there in various situations. And you know what I'm talking about. You know the thing that you feel walked on and disrespected on. That's the thing that you need to reposition yourself with. That's the thing. And you can do it. It's just with training and repetition, and it can be done. And once you do that, you're going to feel like you gained ground. You're going to feel like you're more heard in your relationship, that they're hearing you more, that you are more of a force to be reckoned with in a good, positive way. And then it feels like more of an equal relationship than you feel being walked on. And last but not least, very simply said, be yourself and allow them to be them and love them for it. You married them. They weren't that bad to get married to, okay? You must have loved them at some point, and you certainly do. Get back to that and realize that don't be trying to change people, but just try to figure out how to harmonize, how to communicate, how to respect. And if you're allowed to be you, allow them to be them. And that's what's so important because we can make judgment calls all day long, but why should we be making judgment calls and throwing mud at the people we love? So remember, you can reposition yourself and to love both. I think it's a great show, and I hope that your marriage score is within an 85 to 90% range.
When I finally get married, then I hope so, too. And this is a really great show. I'll keep it in mind. Thanks, Ashley.
And I'm giving Bill away at the wedding, so don't forget that. Everybody heard this. We will replay this, so I make sure that it happens. Stay tuned. We have a great show next. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.